show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomé River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Here, Blood River Radio audience, what a heck of a show. We're talking about flying by the seat of your pants. That's what we've been doing tonight. Things, the schedule didn't always go out right. Okay, we've been bringing the League of the South guys in on the second and third hour. We had the whole first hour allotted for them. But listen, I'd like to say this. If you heard that song coming in, it's a brand new song, Dancing Queen by ABBA. Well, listen, that doesn't really, my song, it really doesn't fit with Blood River. But I'm going to tell you why I picked that. One of my heroes, he was kind of a Yankee in a way, but his name was G. Gordon Liddy. And you're talking about a badass. G. Gordon Liddy was a badass. That's who we dedicated that song to. I wanted to make sure I told people about that because G. Gordon was, he was slated. He was going very high in the FBI. He was a special agent to the FBI. He was slated to go. They said probably he was going to take over J. Edgar Hoover's place. But he was, in a way, he was one of us. He did 7 years in a federal penitentiary because he would not talk. He was on one of the Watergate. He engineered the Watergate break-in. Most of you young people probably never heard of Watergate. You ought to go in and look into it. But he wouldn't talk. All he had to do was talk to the federal prosecutors. He would have never done a day in prison. But he didn't talk, him and some of the Cubans. So that's why we dedicated it. That was G. Gordon Liddy's favorite song. What an oddity. But I wanted to honor him. But anyway, I think we have Mark. Mark, Tommy's still on the line. He's going to finish telling you about his story. So go ahead, dear brother, League of the South, Mark. I'm trying to get everything in, man.
Yeah, I'll finish up real quick, and then Dr. Hill's standing by to dial in right after me. So, but anyway, my friend Michael Givens was over in Prague directing this Pepsi commercial, and they had a cast of thousands of the local people to fill up the soccer stadium for some of the shots they were doing. And this one Czech lady found out that he was from South Carolina, and she made it known to everybody in the crew there that she wanted to have wanted to meet Michael and have her photograph made with him before they left that day. And so when they wrapped up shooting, they brought her over and introduced her to him. And they talked for just a minute. And so they had a photographer ready to go. So as they started to pose, she reached in her bag and pulled out a Confederate battle flag and draped it around the two of them and then looked at the photographer and said, "Okay, now you can take your picture." And so when it was over, Michael was stunned because this is like 96, 97, when all this, you know, hatred for all things Confederate really first started, as I mentioned earlier. And so he told the lady, he said, "You know, I'm really curious about why you feel the way you do about the Confederate flag, because back home where I live, it's really controversial right now." And he said that she stuck her chest out and poked her chin up in the air and looked at him very sternly and very plainly, looking him in the eye, said, "Because, young man, this flag is the international symbol of resistance to tyranny."
Wow. That's great. That's a great story.
It's always, and I've heard those kind of stories from other people from Europe who are not tainted by the propaganda that we are over here. And so it's funny how they understand what the real causes and principles were that were involved in that conflict, and most of our own people don't. Anyhow, wonderful story. And at that, with that being said, I will happily drop off and let Dr. Hill come in. And thanks for having me on again, Eddie. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, call me soon. I have a new phone, but it's the same phone number. Please call me soon, Mark. I'd like to talk to you. And thank you so very much. And I'm going to go to a quick story. Happened to me just today, y'all. Y'all talking about how important it is to not let our memories, our culture go down the memory hole. This is a quick story. Just today, my wife has been cleaning up her room. We have boxes and boxes of stuff. And she was getting ready to throw a box away, but she said, I'm going to look at what's in this box. Well, it's photographs that go all the way back to 1912, when her mother was born. Photographs of when her mother and dad got married. Letters that she had the great aunt that was down in South Texas when Pancho Villa was making his raids. Listen, people, I'm going to make this quick. Yes, the international Jewocracy, they were pounding us day and night, just like we covered the first hour and the second hour, especially the second hour. These Jews, they're trying to destroy every vestige of memory for our young children. They don't want them to have an identity. They're trying to, first they're going to destroy our culture, like Dr. Hill said. First they're coming for the linen, then they come for the stone, then they come for your flesh. But what you have to do, we're going to take these photographs. We have two grandchildren. We're going to take these photographs and go them over with our grandchildren and explain who these photographs are. And I have two books from the Mountain Millers of Breathitt County, Kentucky, that came in from Virginia and North Carolina back in the 1700s. We're going to go over our grandchildren and anybody that will listen and show them. They need to know where they come from, because if they don't, just like Karl Marx said, if we can take your children, take them away from their roots, destroy any memory, any link to the past, we got them. We cannot let that happen. We have to, people, it's up to you to teach your own children their culture, who they came from. They didn't come from a damn ape, and they didn't come from a stinking Jew. With that, people, we're going to bring on the one and only Dr. Michael Hill, the general, the leader of the League of the South. If you've heard us talking, they're having a big meeting down at Points Unknown in Florida. We can't let people know because, you know, the same old eternal Jew, Antifa, will be on them trying to destroy the meeting and probably try to get them in prison. Anyway, how are you doing tonight, Dr. Hill?
It is.
Are you doing okay? Dr. Hill there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, sir.
Oh, how you doing, fella? Sir?
Oh, man, I am doing just great. We had a great meeting here today down in Lake City, Florida. We had this place that the local folks got for us here in the league out in just the most beautiful, beautiful wetlands with a river running by and all kind of big oak trees. It was a resort. Man, just a perfect venue. The meeting was well attended. We had five really good speakers, and we'll have some good videos coming out here pretty soon. So it was a really, really good day.
You know, Rand has been on the first hour. With me and Rand, we did the first hour. We had Miss Monica and Nancy on the second hour, but he asked about that. He asked me to ask Mark about the videos. He said that. I can't wait to see them myself, Dr. Hill. But, you know, we were talking about also, and I know we said it a lot of times on this show, but I'm a member of the League of the South. I've only been a member since 2017, so I'm one of the newest guys probably. But I have immense pride in being a member of the League of the South. And I've said it before. I'll keep saying it. I know Dr. Hill said it. There was everybody and his mama was in some kind of a right-wing organization. We had Identity Europa. We had the National Socialist. We had the Klan.
We had the Workers' Party.
You never had a bunch, you know, you couldn't name them all. And now, where are they? Every stinking one of them have gone, ran, they tucked their tail between their legs and ran the hell for the high grass. And you can't even find them. They won't even return your phone calls now. So I'm so dadgum proud, and especially proud of you, Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill's been through, he's been under the damn heat ever since the fiasco at Charlottesville. But Dr. Hill, I know I'm not as proud as you are, because you've been there since 1994, and the League of the South has never folded, and we never will until the last drop of blood is gone out of our body. But back to you, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, that's right. You know, God has blessed us with some really good members who have stuck with us for a long time, and those who will. And he's given us the resources. Every time we've been in need for something, it just appears, you know, somebody comes through for us and enables us to stay in the field and continue fighting this battle for Southern independence. So, you know, we've been a very blessed organization, but we have really, really had great members, and we continue to do so. And it was just in great evidence this weekend here in Lake City, Florida.
Boy, I wished I was there. You know, Dr. Hill, while we get on the line, When do you think the next meeting will be? Are we still going to have one in June? Rand said, I thought it was September. Rand said we're going to have one sometime probably in June. Is that true, or do you know? Do you know yet?
Well, we're looking at probably around mid-July. We're trying to put something together now with some folks that have participated in some of these Nationalist Solutions Conference that we had back in 2018 and 2019 that were very successful up in Tennessee. We're trying to get one of those arranged. We may have it jointly with the league national meeting. I'm not sure, but we hope to have something in July and maybe something else, say, in October.
That'd be fabulous. I tell you, that would be fantastic. You know, well, you know the reason I couldn't come to the one down in Florida last time, because you know all about that, you know, the donors.
Yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, I know all about it.
I couldn't broadcast, but so I didn't want to spend donors' money. But do you have any, and I know I don't want you to give away any locations. Is it going to be like, do you think the next one, this combined operation between the league and the National Solutions Conference people, is that going to be like, will that be in Tennessee, Alabama, Florida?
Yeah, that'll more than likely be in Middle Tennessee.
Oh, great. Well, I tell you what, God willing, if I'm alive, I still want to come. And, you know, we'll be able to get probably at least 6 hours broadcast, because we'll have 3 hours of Blood River, 3 hours of Political Cesspool. Even last time we were up there, we got old Sam. Old Sam came in. We carried about, I think, 2 hours on Sam's show. So, hell, we had, let's see, we carried like 7 hours. I was really proud of that, because Blood River Radio carried the whole thing. We did Sam's show, our show, and James' show. People, hear the music. We got to go to a quick break. Be right back.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
I'll second that, I'll third that, I'll fourth that, and everybody knows, not only every good soldier knows, like the good general said, every southern white man knows that's got any sense. In the end, the only thing that matters is raw, merciless, naked force and power. That's the only thing these damn international Jews understand. That's the only thing our enemy understands. We got the one and only Dr. Michael Hill on the air. And I'm going to read this thing one more time to Dr. Hill. I read it in the first hour, but, you know, I'm infamous for repeating myself. This needs to be read again. This, our wonderful brother in Arkansas, I'm not going to mention his name because this is kind of hot, but he sent this to me. It's an article and it says right here, I'm going to start by Bob Avery. He says, if you haven't been paying attention to the events taking place in Canada, Justin Trudeau has announced a total and complete gun ban, all the way down to single-shot 22 caliber plinkers. I'm talking about Justin Trudeau dictatorially banning all firearms in a nation of hunters, fishermen, and common citizens wanting to be able to defend themselves in an era of spiking Canadian crime. Can you imagine going fishing in grizzly bear country without a firearm? And like I said on the first hour, this part of Canada, Western Canada, is full of grizzly bears. Unlike our spoiled and gutless Americans, Canadian citizens are talking tough and planning even more tough if any attempt is made to disarm them, whether it be local police, Canadian Mounties, or any other law enforcement stooges up there. The citizens already had a gutful of BS from Trudeau during the trucker strike, but now they're ready to fight, and not in a defensive way either. Wouldn't it be ironic if Canadian citizens, the nation known for its polite people, beat America to the punch, and here's what a part I like, and they kill every liberal communist they can find? Call me crazy, but I think Trudeau should reconsider if he wants to live. What do you think about that, Dr. Hill?
Well, any time you start trying to take away good, decent, law-abiding white people's guns away from them, you are going to get some pushback on it, and I think that'll happen in Canada. Especially among the more rural people in the central and western parts, because you're right, there's a lot of grizzly bears out there. And, in some of the urban areas, you got black bears, let's say. I think that's a great possibility. And I think it's a great possibility here if the communist regime pushes gun control and gun registration and confiscation hard here. You know, something's going to happen, and it's going to be kind of the tipping point, if you will, and it's just going to make a whole bunch of people say, oh, hell no, we're just not going to put up with this anymore. And something's going to happen, and it's just going to spiral out of control, and the regime, whether it's Biden or Trudeau or whoever, is going to regret the day that they ever thought about gun control.
You've got that right. I'm just wondering, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when they do come after our firearms. It's coming. It's always happened in every single country in history. Every time it's ever been done, every incident, the next step is slavery. I mean, look at what happened at the Holy Thamar.
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. Once they get your firearms, you are a slave. They will do anything they want to you with impunity. But here's what I take heart from. It's just like old Charlie Daniels once said in a song, what the world needs is a few more rednecks. He said there's a lot more of us than there are of them. Now, they may have the law behind them, their own so-called law, and they may have the law enforcement, federal and state and even local law enforcement in a bind doing their bidding, and they may even call out the military. But even if they do all those things, there are still more of us than there are of them by a long shot. And it just takes a little spark to set off a big fire.
You got that right. You know, remember what I think it was General Yamamoto, genius of the Japanese Navy. He didn't want to go to war with the United States because, to echo what you said, to mirror what you said, because he said, if invading the American mainland, he said, the Japanese troops, he said that they would be facing, he said there'd be a rifle behind every bush, a rifle behind every tree. He said it was a nightmare. The only thing that he thought they were doing, bombing Pearl Harbor, was to waken a sleeping giant. He said it'd be suicide to invade the United States. I'm hoping, Dr. Hill, we haven't lost a lot of that blood from the First and Second World War generation, from our Southern War of Independence, a lot of that blood. I hope that blood, some of that blood, and some of the genetics, the warrior genetics, is there.
It's here.
Also, Dr. Hill, not to repeat myself too much, but we have one thing I'm very proud about Blood River is we have two of the greatest historians I know of. We have Sister Nancy Hitt, and we have Jean Andrews.
Both of those are really good.
Oh, and you know what? I was talking to Jean just a day or two ago. One thing I'm really proud of, and I hope they can keep doing it, we need to keep hammering our culture. We need to keep telling the truth about what happened during Lincoln's war against an independent nation, the South. The South had declared just they'd had the right from God. They didn't need the Declaration of Independence. They didn't need the Constitution. But it's even written in the Declaration of Independence that anytime the people feel like the government's not serving them like they should, they have the right to either overhaul that government or do away completely with it, leave that
Absolutely.
Union.
Absolutely. You know, that's the ultimate right of free men.
If I could jump in and just make a comment about the Canadian situation there. I think that our enemy has overplayed their hand and the spell has broken. And I felt and saw that happen last winter with the truckers' convoy going across the country. And whatever anybody might say about the truckers' convoy, whether it was perhaps planned by, you know, some... like the enemy themselves, or whether it was not, whether it was all organic or whether it was not, that is actually not as important as the fact that it did break a spell. The people got rattled out of their sleep. Many people are awake. And so to relate it to this gun story and the thing that you read there, Eddie, I would say that, there's a lot of people here who are not going to just roll over and hand over their guns like they did I think they did that in Australia a number of years ago, and a lot of people just handed the guns in after a whole bunch of false flag events. So they're in bad shape, and I pray that they can, turn it around from that. And so that's just I didn't want to interrupt your flow, but it's just my little contribution to that conversation there.
Well, Miss Monica, while you're there, I know you're a Western Canadian. What in your own individual personal experiences of talking to different people, have you seen any of your friends, any people out in the bush? I know you go out in the bush from time to time. What are those people's the friends, acquaintances, your general observations of the general public there in Canada? Are they? Have you seen any type of a paradigm shift in the way they look toward the government, the way they look toward Trudeau, are they waking him up to this communist thing? I may be asking you to repeat yourself. Oh, go ahead, sister.
No, definitely. And it could also be that I don't live in that communist town anymore, and that was a little bit of a bubble, like where I used to live for 37 years, Jasper, and I'm not there anymore. But I would say that was more of the exception. That town was, you know, a federal town. Has four levels of government controlling that little town in a national park and a World Heritage Site. Beautiful, beautiful place surrounded by wilderness and wildlife and that kind of thing. But the town itself had its own little bubble group hive mind mentality. So that was different. But now I don't live in there. I'm living in an area where there's a lot of rural, it's very agricultural around here. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who are awake. And I think that is the case in general in large parts of this country. Yeah.
Well, you know, Dr. Hill, I think those people, according to what Miss Monica says, Sister Monica, I think that the Canadian government, Trudeau specifically, he might ought to go back and read what General Yamamoto said, what's going to happen to the... how about that, Dr. Hill?
Yeah, I think General Yamamoto said that there would be a gun behind every blade of grass.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's about the truth today, especially. I don't know how many hundreds of millions of guns and how many billions of rounds of ammo are in the hands of private citizens in America. But most of those people are not going to give this up. And I think I agree with Sister Monica there that they push this thing too far, and I think they're going to regret it.
I certainly hope to do. People, we're going to go to a quick break. If we could, I'd like to bring Gene Hill was a famous writer. Could you bring Gene Andrews? I'd like to get Gene to converse with Dr. Hill for a second. I know he has questions. Be right back, folks.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The Virginia teacher who suffered life-threatening injuries after she was shot in the chest by a six-year-old student is showing improvement. Police warned Richneck Elementary School Friday after reports of an active shooter. The grandmother of one of the students wants answers.
Where did this child get a gunfire? We have to do something about this gunfire. It is taking over now. It's taking over our babies.
Police say the boy pulled the handgun on the teacher during an argument. Students were eventually released to their families after an hour-long lockdown. No word on how the six-year-old got the gun. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's back on Capitol Hill hours after being sworn into his new job. California Republican won election early this morning after a chaotic overnight session. After accepting the gavel shortly after 1 a.m., McCarthy told the chamber his first responsible is to the American people and promised that the House will be a check on President Joe Biden and his policies. The TSA is reminding passengers that snakes do not belong on planes.
This after a case out of Florida. Workers at the Tampa International Airport recently discovered a four-foot-long boa constrictor jammed inside one passenger's luggage. It was found next to a pair of shoes, a belt, and a laptop when the bag went through the machine. Airport officials want to remind folks to never put pets inside luggage. It's up to the airline to decide which pets are allowed on board. I'm Ryan Daniels.
Grammy-winning singer, songwriter, and arranger who worked with everyone from Ella Fitzgerald to Frank Sinatra to Bing Crosby has passed away. The Hollywood Reporter says Alan Copeland passed away December 28th in an assisted living facility in Sonora, California at the age of 96. Copeland began his career as a member of Robert Mitchell's boy choir. This is USA News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. And it's true, the typical family switching to MediShare saves $500 or more a month, which is obviously huge for a lot of people, but what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. There are 400,000 members, they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills, and it really is a great community too. People encourage and pray for each other. And here's the thing. If you join MediShare Complete right now, they'll waive your new member fees and you'll save an additional 10% off all of 2023. That's right. No fee to join. 10% off every month of next year, but it's a very limited time offer. You have to sign up before January 15th. Great savings, great health care. Find out more. Call now. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Well, dude, Blood River Radio family, and Jock Ewing of Dallas, it was a soap opera kind of thing, but the guy told you right. Nobody is going to give you power. Nobody's going to give you liberty. You have to take it. And most of the times, in the end, it's going to come at the end of a bayonet, at the end of a rifle barrel. People, we have Nathan on from the League of the South, and we also have my brother, Gene Andrews, a.k.a. the Bitter Ender. He's coming out. He's going to interview Mr. Nathan here because Gene Andrews was a member of the League of the South way younger before I even knew the word of the League of the South. So how are you doing tonight, Nathan?
Doing great. We just had one of our best conferences that I've ever been a part of with the League of the South.
Well great.
How about telling us a little bit about it? I know y'all have always have some great speakers, just really top-notch individuals, and maybe you could give our listening audience kind of a brief summary of where you were and what you did and some of the speakers that you had there and sort of the main gist of the program and what you were doing.
Absolutely. Well, for starters, we're just outside of Lake City and maybe one of the best venues also that we've ever had. But in terms of our speakers, they're no strangers to this show. Obviously, Dr. Michael Hill, Mark Tommy, and, of course, Mike Tubbs were probably the three most recognizable names that you all would know.
Oh, absolutely.
Just great people, great leaders. And we had, I would say, a good attendance considering the climate political climate in this part of the country, especially. But overall, I think we had just a phenomenal turnout and a great conference. Obviously, the topics that I've been listening to your show now for about 2 days. I'm sorry, I'm kind of new to the Blood River Radio, but what are we doing in this empire would sum it up perfect.
Well, that is true, and the more nonsense you see out of Washington, the more it reinforces the league's basic premise since day one that we have no business being in an empire that's sinking, and the sooner we get out, the better off it is for the people of the South. I mean, we have nothing in common with people in New York or California or Michigan, and why do we want to be in a country that looks down their nose at us, that wants to destroy our history and our heritage, and force us to be like they are? Now, they are all moving down here, but as soon as they get here, they want to elect their type of people to represent Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia and Virginia, and Virginia is pretty well lost because of the overflow from Washington. So I don't understand why so many people in the South are so eager to turn to Washington to solve all their problems for us, when most of the problems were created by Washington, D.C. That's not an original idea with me. I've heard that from a lot of speakers at the programs that the league has had.
Yeah, and first off, that's a Floridian. I can guarantee you, I wish I wasn't an expert on this, but so many Yankees have moved down here, and the first thing they want to do is look down the end of their nose at you and want to – New Yorkify or whatever word you want to come up with, our culture.
Yes.
Tell us that's not how we do it back there. That's not whatever food you're eating. Oh, we've got something better than that, or our school system, blah, 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 blah. And they just don't realize they're the problem.
Exactly. If it were so great in Ohio, why don't you go back to Ohio and leave us alone? Why'd you come down here? You ran away from a hellhole up there. Now you're trying to turn Nashville or, cities in Florida, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, St. Cloud, some places like that. They're trying to turn them into just like what they ran away from. It's unbelievable.
Oh, absolutely. There's some shirts down here that actually, you can pick any Yankee state, but they'll say, like, don't New York my Florida.
Yeah.
And that's the sentiment as Floridians, we've had to deal with for years is, a lot of folks, even Southerners sometimes think, hey, there's not really a Southern culture in Florida. Well, there was, and there still are Southerners here, but when I was born, I'm 56 now, there was just under 5 million people in Florida. Well, there's 22 million people now.
Oh my gosh.
Damn, 22 million.
So if that's how I see us almost as experts on how this is going, and I hate to see it happen in other Southern states, but they just don't want to stop moving in. They're coming in by the truckloads now, especially from California. But
well, they want the low taxes.
They're
looking at money wise. They want the low taxes.
Yeah.
They want a better climate if they're coming from the north or the northeast. And then, like you said, they want to bring all their liberal ideas with them. And a lot of them that even claim they're conservative. When it gets to the ballot box or the voting machine that's rigged, whatever you want, however you want to phrase that, they vote in the same type of people they ran away from, and it really is frustrating. I live in Nashville, and it used to be a nice town to live in, but good Lord, it's overcrowded. It's you can't get across town anything under an hour at least. And it used to take you 20 minutes to drive from one side of Nashville to the other. And now it's an hour, and traffic is horrible, drugs, crime. But we got us a pros football team, and they're talking about building a dome stadium now. So I'm sure that'll make everything a great life after they do that. So,
yeah, that seems to be government's plan for all of us is to have a sports team come in and rescue us. But I'll give you a comparison here about Nashville. I'm originally from Orlando, Florida.
Uh-huh.
After one of those last Puerto Rican hurricanes, it was not the last one, but the one before it, they estimated 60,000 Puerto Ricans relocated to Central Florida.
Good night. Mm.
So this isn't something – when I look at that ridiculous open border we have, it doesn't even take that anymore. It is literally a full-out assault on the South. They're moving everywhere, and – when I was growing up, Orlando was a completely different town than what it is now. I hardly recognize it. I've been gone now since I was in my late 20s, and I just don't even recognize it when I go home.
No, well, I don't recognize the skyline in Nashville either. You know, they're just building all these high-rise apartments and blocking out all the everything downtown. And, you know, people go down there to go on Lower Broad and go to all the honky-tonks and country music places. Well, they got needles all over the sidewalk from drug heads, and all the homeless people are down there and urinate in the street. My son and daughter, they go to more modern stuff than I do, and they said that even they don't want to go down there because it smells like an open toilet. And why do you want to put up with something like that and pay obscene amounts of money for parking and going to some of these places and have to wade through all of that mess? So I understand what you're going through in Florida. On a smaller scale, we're going through the same thing here in Nashville and Davidson County. But I really appreciate what Dr. Hill and y'all are doing to bring that to the forefront of our people and try to get at least some of them to wake up and see how we're just committing suicide ourselves. And well, I think it goes back. It's amazing how, you know, those who fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. That book that came out in 1930, I'll Take My Stand, by the 12 Southern authors that were either professors or students at Vanderbilt, if you can believe that, back when Vanderbilt was a conservative university. And that was the pitch they were making back then, that the South was in too big of a hurry to industrialize and throw away all of our traditions and embrace industrializations. And they were saying, once you lose your ties to the land, you have pretty much lost your soul, because you're just a machine that works in a factory and you have nothing to hold you to that area. So, you know,
that is well said, because that is exactly what this big tourism has done down here in Florida. It has created a lot of jobs, but it's created a lot of low paying jobs.
Yeah.
And so in the League of the South here in Florida, we are really, you know, sounding the alarm to our southern neighbors. You know, don't end up like Florida.
Yeah.
Act now. If this was 1970 in Florida, we'd have a shot. And I think that's where a lot of our southern neighbors are. Wake up now, get involved now, because Florida has just been, you know, overrun with people that are not from here, be it Americans or people coming in from other countries.
Well, it's a problem because there's so much money involved. And that's I keep referring back to Nashville because I hear this every day on the news here. They're pushing for this dome stadium nonsense. And we're saying, well, why do we have to pay for something we'll probably never use? Because tickets to the Super Bowl or the Final Four, which they're always touting, well, we'll get a Super Bowl here. Well, hooray for that. I'm not going to watch it. I don't watch it on TV. I sure wouldn't go downtown to watch it. But, you know, we couldn't afford the ticket prices. And yet the people out here in Davidson County are going to have to pay for it. And they say, well, it'll bring in so much money. It'll bring in so much money. Yeah, it'll bring in money. But the prostitutes, the drug dealers, the bartenders, and the hotels will make the money off of it. We won't see a rebate on our taxes. They're not going to give us anything.
Let me tell you about that lie right now. Florida is probably the bowl game and Super Bowl capital of America, and that brings in some money, but I tell you what, it also brings in a lot of bills to pay, too.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about cops, the law enforcement, everything. So it's a little bit overrated, in my opinion.
We got to go to a quick break, Nathan. Nathan's with us, the League of the South. We'll be right back to Nathan and Gene as soon as this last break is over with. Be right back, folks.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death, like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Oh, dear Blood River Radio family, I'll tell you what, this has been something else. This has been, if you're just tuning in, this is the first program of the new year for Blood River Radio. This is their first three-hour program. We went to 3 hours. We opened with 2 hours back in 2018. We've been 2 hours until this is the first three-hour show. We'll be 3 hours for the rest of the year, God willing. But we have Mr. Nathan Owen from League of the South. He's the League of the South meeting in the state meetings of Florida. He's a Florida resident. We have Gene Andrews on, my brother, the bitter ender. I'm going to throw a quick comment out there, then we're going right back to Nathan and Gene. Earlier, Nathan was saying that there was 60,000 Puerto Ricans pouring in to South Florida. And I'd like to have an anecdotal story about that. He said that there's been, when he was a kid, there was like 5 million residents in the state of Florida. Now there's estimated 22 million. For estimated 22 million, probably 30 million, because you can't count all those migrants. But, you know, in my neighborhood, we've been in this house here since Halloween Day of 1980. I would love to leave, but that's a little thing called the IRS has got me by the gonads. But if you come out of my house, if I look to the left, I have a house that's packed to the brim with the people there from Honduras. They can't speak a lick of English. If I look to the right, I have a Colombian woman who was keeping cow, shacking up with a Mexican. If I look across the street, I see a mulatto couple over there, a white woman married to a black. If I look to the right of that, you see more Guatemalans. In other words, the whole cove, the whole subdivisions I live in is just inundated with colors. And it's the same way everywhere. You know what? So, y'all, I'm just relating that to Florida. It's not just Florida. It's everywhere you go, Nathan. Go ahead, Nathan.
I agree with what you're saying. And that's why I tell everybody everywhere I go, the biggest lie they've ever told us, you know who they are, is that diversity is a strength. Okay. It is nothing more than taking a culture and watering it down to a political no man's land. I've seen what diversity has done to my state. And let me tell you something, diversity is definitely not a strength, especially if you're a Southerner. We don't have any place in, they don't have a plan. Their plan doesn't include us. Let's put it that way.
No, they're here to take over. It's like a swarm of locusts that come in and just strip everything, every leaf off of every tree and every crop in the field and leave it destitute. I mean, look what they've done in their homeland in Africa and Central and South America and what they're going to do here. And the fools in Washington can't say, well, the fools in Washington don't care. What happens to us? They'll live in their gated communities, and they'll hire a few of these people to mow their grass and wash their clothes and clean the toilets for them. But that's about as close as they'll ever get to them, if they ever get that close. So they really don't care. And it was really interesting to me to watch all this hubba-hubba that was going on in Washington with electing a new speaker of the House for the Republican majority in the House, and how all the news commentators were talking about how terrible this was, that they wouldn't jump on board and support McCarthy 100%. They had these 20 holdouts. Well, that's what democracy is, that you have to listen to the voice of the people. And the people that elected these 20 that weren't going to go in lockstep and goose step along with the rest of the rhino Republicans, that's why they were elected, to stand up for the people and stop some of this immigration nonsense and stop this spending. And everything that the League has been saying about just printing more money, about bringing in swarms of non-Southerners and non-Western Europeans into this country, it's just been proven over and over again every day what a disaster it's been. And I applaud those people that stood up against just falling in lockstep with the rhinos in the Republican Party. Maybe McCarthy will wake up, since he had, what was it, they took him 11 ballots or 11, you know, they had to vote 11 times.
I think it was up to 15, wasn't it?
Was it? Okay, well, I'm a few behind him then. So yeah. Maybe he'll wake up and say, hey, look, bud, you know, you got some people out there that are going to be keeping an eye on you. You better do the right thing. So, but I don't know. You go back to that money and who the people are that are providing the money, and they are the ones that are going to be pulling the strings in the background. And that's
well, the Republicans have proven time and time again. I mean, look, I'm in my late 50s. I mean, my first president I voted for was Ronald Reagan, because everybody said he is going to do it for us. Nothing.
Yeah.
He formed NAFTA and GATT. He formed so many things that helped ruin Florida. Then we get the Bush family, you know, monarchy, basically. They came in and did absolutely nothing. And then, of course, you know, sandwiched in with all that, you get, you know, Clinton and Obama. And by the time Trump gets here, and like I said, Trump, I supported him more for sport than anything else. I really don't care about federal elections. But it was funny to see someone buck the system like he did, just for laughs.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah,
that was really it. But, yeah, Trump is proof in knowing he's not one of us. He's not a Southerner. If he is getting that much pushback, what would they do to one of us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he is a born and bred Yankee that speaks their language, and they've turned on him like nothing we've ever seen. So, yeah, the Republicans are net, like Mike Tubbs and so many of the folks in the League of the South preach, the Constitution's not going to save us.
No.
You know,
no.
Where the judiciary's not going to rule in our favor.
Absolutely not. It's a stacked deck, and when you go up against it, like you said, the only thing you can do is just get out and get away from it. My brother lives out in Texas. We were both born and raised in Nashville, but he moved out there about 40 years ago. He thinks he's a real Texican now. So anyway, they're talking about Texit out there, like Brexit for Britain, and there are a lot of parts of Texas that are really serious about declaring Texas as a republic again, which it always was. And it was when it was accepted into the Union. And, you know, Texas are really, the United States needs Texas more than Texas needs the United States. They've got all the oil and gas they can ever use.
Absolutely.
And they've got warm water ports. They can trade with anybody in the world. You don't have to worry about their ports freezing over in the wintertime. They can raise enough cattle and hogs and sheep and whatever else they need out there to feed themselves, and grain. So, you know, and citrus crops. So why does Texas need the rest of the United States? So my brother's always told me, he said, well, we got an extra room in the house. If Texas leaves the Yankee Empire, come on out of here. So I think that's a pretty good offer.
I don't think Florida has the minerals that Texas does, but in terms of ports, in terms of just location, you know, Florida is a very wealthy state internationally as well. I heard one time an interesting stat. I think in the world there were so many yachts that were above, I don't know, something like 100 feet, some that makes them a super yacht. And out of those yachts, I think something like 90% of them made a port of call in Florida at least once a year.
Oh, man. Well,
guys, I'm gonna chip in
just goes to
second.
Show you where Florida comes in globally and how much money comes in here. The people just don't even factor when they think about Florida. So, yeah, the United States of America needs Florida way more than the other way around.
Absolutely.
I'm going to interrupt just for a second. We got the Sister Monica. She's one of our co-hosts. She has it. This won't take me long. She just published a great book. Nathan, just in case you don't know, Sister Monica Schaefer is one of our co-hosts. She was in the federal penitentiary in Germany for Holocaust denial, et cetera. She wants to come on, and we want her to announce her book. It makes us look good. We need to help her out because she's one of our co-hosts.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Monica's great.
She's my sister. Go ahead, Sister Monica. Let us know about that book because I still want mine autographed now.
Yeah, Eddie, I really don't want to interrupt the flow of this conversation because it's just been so, so interesting. But I also don't want to get in trouble with our elder sister, dear, dear, dear Nancy Hitt, who said, well, I might be in big trouble if I don't bring it up. And, you know, she was very clear about that I have to talk about it. And I don't like doing self-promotion, but then it occurred to me this really isn't about self, even though it is through the telling a story of the big picture, but through my experiences, my lived experience. So you could say it's a bit autobiographical of what has happened over the last few years, especially. I do give background to my parents and their war experiences and whatnot. But it's called Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. And it is basically the story of what happened to me when after I made that little video, 6-minute video, and then, you know, the firestorm that erupted from that, the Sorry Mom, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. So that book is hot off the presses. And I can only interrupt this great conversation with that because we connect all the dots. Really, everything is connected, like the fact that we can't talk about World War II history, the truth about that, and then the Southern, you know, the Southern states and the lies told about the Confederate states and those demonized flags, that it's very much that we are connecting the dots with all that. But anyway, if people do want to get that book, it's available from the Barnes Review. So it's thebarnesreview.org. And even if you just typed in my first name, Monica, with a K, it'll come up. It'll pop up. So that's all I'll say about that. Thanks, Eddie.
Thank you. And I'd just like to say one more time, Miss Monica, my little sister, and her brother both paid the price. They put their money where their mouth was. They've both been in prison in Germany just for thought crime, speech crime, because they doubted certain parts of the Holocaust. But I'd like to get a box of those books and send them out to some of our listeners as soon as I can. Anyway, I'm very proud of that lady, and Gene knows her all too well. Me and Gene are awfully proud of her. But anyway, back to you, Gene.
I've already ordered my copy of the book through the Barnes Review. They have a special on it. If you renew your publication for the next year, you can get a copy of Monica's book. Now, I don't know how I'm going to get it. When I get it, I'll have to make a special trip up to Alberta and have her sign it for me. That'll be a good trip.
That's right. You all come up here, and then I can sign it.
Well, we're going to wait till it warms up just a little bit, if you don't mind. That's Southern rednecks have a hard time with that snow in winter.
I want to get one of those grizzly bears up there we talked about.
But there you go.
Well, anyway, folks, we're just about out of time. Sister Monica, I guess, would you like to take us out?
Oh, my.
By the way, Alan, thank you for coming up tonight. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sister Monica.
Yeah, I just have found this whole discussion super interesting. Thank you to the people who called in. Every time I learn more about the South, I think maybe I'll have to move there, you know?
Well, please do. We'd welcome you with open arms.
Actually, I'm quite happy where I am, but, you know, I have a real affinity for all you folks, and I'm just so, so honored to be talking with you on this show. Thank you so much, Eddie.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And all of you. Love that little lady. I love my crew. The crew loves me. We're all one family. Thank you so much tonight, Nathan, for coming out tonight. You've been very eloquent. I'd like to get you and Mark Tommy and Dr. Hill. He's going to start lining up some regulars. So, and thank you so much, Mr. Gene. Gene's been in the League of the Souther before I even knew it was League of the Souther.
But well, thanks to Nathan. It's an honor to be on with anybody from the league. I really appreciate what they're doing.
Yes.
Hey, it was an honor to be on the show, guys.
That was double for me. Well, thank you so much, Gene. Thank you, Malika. Thank you, Sister Nancy and Rand, Dr. Hill, and everybody that called in. Thank you so much, little Lizzie and Jade. And thank you so much, Blood River Radio family, for everybody that makes this show what it is, this broadcast what it is. See you same time, next same place, the 14th. Good night, everybody.